Brown, I, thank you, Chairman Brown. I will try to keep the balance of my testimony brief. I have only a few other points to cover, and will conclude my testimony. I'd like to continue addressing the merits of House Bill 739 passed the last legislature. As
this
I have previously
with lawyers title
I believe that the cash flow
environment
created by that law is better than it has ever been, both for the home builder and for the materials supplier and or subcontractor. The bill also addresses the relative priority between the mechanic's lien and the lien of the lender or the lender's deed of trust. And I sympathize with Mr. Ward and Fairbanks in that it is a burdensome process that must be followed in order to perfect the lien right given him under the law. I would like to also point out that the lender's priority is something that they must too protect. They are not given a senior or paramount lien position without some act on their part. The act on the part of the lender is that of recordation. The lender's deed of trust must be recorded in order to give them a paramount lien position. And likewise, the law addressed that issue for the lien claimant and set up the current state being that to protect their right to lien, they must give notice. I would like to say that I have been very involved in the mechanics lien issue in the state of Alaska for the last 4.5 years. I worked very hard on House Bill 739 in its various drafts.
Oh, he's the culprit.
Even though Director Block caught much flack and took a lot of heat over the issuance of his Order 77-3, he did in fact accomplish something that no one else prior had been able to accomplish. And that is that he provided the vehicle that forced all members of the industry affected by the mechanic lien problem to sit down at the table, negotiate their differences, and attempt to reach a solution.
All the members within the city limits of Anchorage.
I believe that 739 is the result of those negotiations. We are further down the road, in my opinion, today, as a result of communication between industries than we would have been otherwise. I strongly urge the committee to kill House Bill number 24.
Very good thing.
It basically takes it back to step one. It drives a wedge between the industry that has been overcome in the last year and a half, and will lead to nothing but more confusion, and in my opinion, it's basically trying to reinvent the wheel. I suggest that House Bill 739 was not in the state by the legislature. It is a good bill that needs housekeeping changes and possibly some amendments to make it a little more palatable by all members of the various industries. But again, in closing, I urge you to work with the existing bill and not try to revamp the thing in its entirety as contemplated in House Bill number 24. That concludes my testimony, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Bridge. And I do mean this lightly. In another context with another bill, I might mean it very seriously, but in spite of all of your experience with the lien law, you really should get a dictionary and look up the spelling of the word politics, because it's really not a very good idea to advise a committee to kill a bill the prime sponsor of which is the chairman of the committee. But having said that, of course, you understand that my intention in introducing the bill was, on a serious note, simply to bring the issue before the committee at this time, and I suppose that that discloses in a way that the bill is in part kind of a dummy bill. But I do wish very much, my own intentions at least, were to try to resolve some of these serious problems that have occurred for the material men and the subcontractors that have been testified about in Fairbanks. Do we have some questions for Mr. Bridge from members of the committee? Mr. Bettesworth?
Yeah, Mr. Bridge, this is Bob Bettesworth from Fairbanks. And in listening to your testimony, I'm well aware that you're quite familiar with the lien laws. But I have one problem in that the attitude of the Anchorage area is 100% different from the attitude of the comparable builders and suppliers and mechanics and so forth in Fairbanks. In fact, the Bill 739, the attitude towards that in Fairbanks has been that don't bother. It's impossible and unworkable, and clients or builders have been so advised by their attorneys that they don't want to bother with it. They can't spend the time that it would take under the fees that they apparently would receive to even mess with it. Now, why this is, I don't know, and I would like to be enlightened as to why the difference in attitudes between the Anchorage area and the Fairbanks area when we're all really basically trying to do the same thing.
Mr. Bettesworth, I am basically not knowledgeable about the seriousness of the lien problem as it respects the Fairbanks community, and it's basically commenting on the experience that I have in the Anchorage in South Central Alaska area. House Bill 739, in my opinion, is good for the industry. I have not spoken personally with members from the Fairbanks area unless they were in attendance at many of the hearings that took place. It is possible I spoke with some at those hearings if they were present. The lien problem that exists in the state surely exists in the Fairbanks area same as it does in Anchorage. And I believe that House Bill 739 is workable. I can't quite frankly imagine any attorney advising their client not to attempt to comply with it because it is in fact the law. I believe that
I'm invited to a meeting in Tenenbaum Valley where it says
House Bill 739 does need some amendments and changes to make it more palatable, and it's possibly these changes
until
that are recommended
that
by the Lien Oversight Committee that will take care of the major objections possibly from the home builders, the suppliers and so forth from the Fairbanks area. I hope I've answered your question.
Yes, are there questions, other questions for Mr. Bridge from the committee? Thank you, Mr. Bridge. There are many questions that do relate to this matter, and if we had more time available to the committee, perhaps at the next full-blown teleconference, which will be on the 19th of February, I would get into some questions that I have. And just for those listening, I'll cite one example that I testified to in my direct testimony on behalf of the bill as its prime sponsor this morning at 8 o'clock. That is that it was very revealing to me that while many of the bankers were telling us that we actually had to pass House Bill 739 last year and go even so far as to basically change priorities as between lenders on the one hand and suppliers on the other hand, for various reasons. kind of tying into the title company's lobbyist arguments with regard to his concerns, which resulted from the Ketchikan case and so forth, and the order that you referred to. Interestingly enough, one of the best bankers in Alaska, a very experienced gentleman who is with a mutual savings bank in Fairbanks that finances much of the construction loans in that area, indicated that the current law was no problem, the then current law was no problem for his bank, in that they knew how to properly manage their construction loans. They were competent, and they were not lazy, and they knew how to do it right. Interestingly enough, we never heard anything else from him after the other banks and their lobbyists heard about it, and I think he was too busy to require to respond to inquiries from the committee after that time with regard to his testimony or something like that. At any rate, there are memories of things of that sort which would cause me, had we more time, to be asking extensive questions of you and others with regard to the glories of House Bill 739. At any rate, we have quite a lot of time to do that in, and I'm sure that you will probably be appearing before the committee by teleconference and probably sending us correspondence appropriately with regard to this legislation. I'm sure you heard the earlier comment that it is not—it's not going to be greased out of the committee during the month of February or anything like that. Do you have any comments there before we go on to the other witnesses?
Was that a question directed to me, Chairman Brown?
Yes, Mr. Bridge. If you had any final comments.
The only final comment I would have is. Certainly was not my intent to offend you or members of the committee in my comment regarding killing House Bill 24, only to impress upon you that that I don't, in my opinion, believe that it's really good for the industry, not our industry or certainly the other industries involved. As to the question specifically concerning the management of their construction loans by the banker in Fairbanks. I guess I don't know how, quite frankly, to address that issue other than the construction loan is not always the problem. As a matter of fact, in many cases, the construction loan is never the problem. The lien problem under the old law always came up after the consumer had taken possession of the property. After the long-term loan had been recorded, these liens came creeping out of various hidden places. And at that point, the problem became that of the long-term lender and the title insurer, inasmuch as the construction loan had already been paid off and discharged. So I can see where possibly, from as a construction lender, it has not been a great problem, possibly for the banker that you speak of.
Well, of course, there were other matters in the bill that were the concerns of the banks, also matters that were concerns of the contractors with regard to the 90-day period that came into effect, and the relationships between interim and permanent financing. And I'm sure that other people will be getting into that at this time. If you have nothing further, if you do, just we'll give you another turn here a little bit later, but Ms. Kruckenberg's been waiting very patiently, I believe, in Fairbanks. She decided she did want to testify, I believe, and I've lost my note, but I think she's with OK Lumber. And if we could go to Fairbanks now for Angie Kruckenberg.
My name is Angie Kruckenberg, OK Lumber. Although I've had a lot of problems with this law, I've not studied it as much as I should, but I do feel that we shouldn't have rights to being even after the fact that we did not file a right thing prior to the certain amount of days required by the bill number 739. I feel that he should be protected from should be protected to be able to be paid some way through the bill. And whether it's due to get rid of parts of the old bill and incorporate it into this bill, House Bill number 24. But I do feel that we have the most time expanded and the least protection of all of the people involved. I do feel that the right to leave should be from, I mean, should be increased 10 days to 45 days at least. Because perhaps it has been a cash customer, and after he has perhaps extended more than what he had planned on doing, then the 10 days is up and we no longer have the right to leave. And I really don't feel that one person can be on top of that so consistently when you have a number of people during the building season coming in and doing these things. Just don't have the time to be on top of everyone. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Carpenberg. Is there questions from members of the committee? Apparently not. Just a comment, Mr. Halford, who had to go to the House Resources Committee about 14 minutes ago, among others, has one bill draft for one paragraph bill that he's looked at that would address the matter that just the one specific concern that you stated, and would change that 10-day period to a 45-day period. And apparently he has along with the legal memorandum that he read from earlier, he has an extensive file that he's built up on the subject, including some advice and comments from some suppliers and attorneys in Anchorage, and he's indicated to the committee that that will be provided to us and be in our file along with the other materials. Is there anyone else showing up in Fairbanks on this, Judy?
No, Mr. Chairman, I call a witness
we have
today.
Okay, stay on the line for your own information if you wish, and we'll proceed. We have, I think, three people left in Anchorage. Now to, if we could, in Anchorage, I'll ask for Swede, I think it's Swede, Holmstrom, United Building Supply.
Chairman Brown, this is Swede Holmstrom with United Buildings. I'm on Mr. Appleby's committee, and the comments he made regarding the problems of home builders and suppliers, we, as suppliers, completely concur with his comments. I think that any problem a home builder has, by association, also becomes a supplier problem. But to refer to the comments that were made regarding the possible change of difference in thought between Fairbanks suppliers and Anchorage suppliers, when House Bill 739 was enacted last year, my thought was, let's kill House Bill 739. It was a horrible law from a supplier's point of view.
I did my best.
And most suppliers in Anchorage were in complete disagreement with House Bill 739. However, the Oversight Committee has addressed most of the problems in House Bill 739, and I believe that the revisions that we have proposed to that will satisfy most of the suppliers' problems and their complaints with it. But I think we all probably missed the boat on what the old new law did not accomplish. For several years, the idle lien law was poorly protected a claimant, no matter how frivolous or unjust the claim might be. Many times a homeowner was a victim of a lien placed on his property for something he was totally unaware of. I believe that an owner has an obligation to pay for improvements on his property, but he also has the right to know who's making the improvements. Under the old lien law, And under House Bill 24, the owner would still be on aware of those payments. And this would be a very unjust thing, putting it back to where it used to be. Also, Mr. Bridge and Mr. Appleby have touched on the long-term financing portion of this, and of course, this does directly affect cash flow to the supplier. And if we do have to go back to the old method, this is going to work a horrible hardship on the contractors and in turn work a hardship on the suppliers, who will probably have to wait for closing to be paid. And present economy being as it is, I don't think any of us can afford to wait the 90 days plus that it would take. But I believe the revisions that we have submitted to the Oversight Committee on House Bill 739 will correct these deficiencies and adequately protect all the claimants, as well as the owners. And of course, we're all interested in cash flow, and it's certainly going to increase cash flow. That would be about all the comments I have, Chairman Dunn.
Thank you, Mr. Valls, for the questions for the members of the committee. Mrs. Munson.
I'd like to ask, how would, if Representative Alford introduces the one bill to change it from 10 days to 45 days, can you give me any comments on that?
I believe under the revisions that we have submitted to House Bill 739, that the time elements are going to be greatly expanded. However, the suppliers and subcontractors would have to comply with certain aspects of those provisions.
Well, then you have, I have your work order, or the work order 5945, everybody's been referring to it here. We have not had a chance to look into it in detail. We got it this morning from the Division of Insurance. But then I assume that in that bill you have also addressed the time period problem that was spoken to by Mrs. Krokenberg from OK Lumber in June Fairbanks.
Yes, just by changing various definitions in that, you no longer have to comply with the 10-day element. You would have a right to lien during the course of construction from the time it starts to the time that you receive a completion notice. At the time that you receive a notice of completion, then you would have a 10-day time element to submit your rightful lien or your claim to lien.
I see, then you accomplished the same result, but not by simply changing it from 10 to 45 days. I think I follow what you're doing there. By the way, he's not here, but I think Mr. Baldwin is something of a genius. How he can keep track of six or seven different, entirely different bills on the same subject that he's drafting for all of them at once, I have no idea. And of course, I have no idea how many other members have not opened the confidential rule and all also have bill requests in with regard to the same subject. There are no further questions of Mr. Holmstrom. We'll go on to, I believe it's, I don't have the first name. The last name I have here is Holman Mortgage Lending, or perhaps the Mortgage Bankers Association. I'm not sure which it is.
This is Chuck Holman, the Alaska Mortgage Bankers Association, Chairman Brown. I would like to address just briefly, very briefly, this subject, because most of the pertinent items have already been brought to light by other members of the Oversight Committee.
Will you be back,
of which I am a member. I think that the adoption of the amendments recommended by the Oversight Committee in the Work Order 5945, our third draft, to House Bill 739 that was adopted as legislation last year, will solve many of the questions that are raised with regards to the position of the supplier and subcontractor under the present legislation. One of the other things I want to bring up is that although a lender is now placed in the first lien position with the proper recordation of his deed of trust in a construction situation, he is still obligated, very strongly obligated under section 3435062 to perform certain tasks and in a certain manner in a certain fashion. Failure to do so then makes him liable to the claimants of the outstanding people who hold the, or supply material or labor to the job. He has specific methods that he must follow in the present legislation, and those obligations are even expanded under the work draft 5945. I suggest that with these changes that the rights of no one would be inhibited or prohibited if they follow through with the steps prescribed under the law. By doing this, all people, the owner, the eventual homeowner, if it is a house construction, the owner, the contractor, the subcontractor, the materialman's rights are protected. House Bill 24, as it is designed and submitted, has raises many, many questions that to me would be much worse than what we used to work with, and I've been working here for almost 16 years in the construction lending. The first thing that comes to my mind is that the very definition that we start off with 3435050, it constitutes or contemplates, I should say, the severability of improvements from the land. It does not state that the lien in that section would be superior on the land, but rather it would...
Mr. Holman, can you hear me?
Improvements.
Mr. Holman, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I don't want to cut off your testimony, but I just thought I would remind you that the intention of the sponsors of House Bill 24 was merely to bring the issue before the legislature. I did not know at that time about the other bill that was pending, and what it would do, the effect of the entire bill, would be to go back to the law before the passage of House Bill 739. Previous witnesses have pointed out there may be some discrepancies, so that the bill as written doesn't quite do that. However, that was the intention of the sponsors, and it was intended to be before this committee as a vehicle. So there is not really a very serious advocate on this committee or among the sponsors or before the committee saying that, yes, we should go back to every bit of jot and tittle of the prior law. But rather, we wanted to try to go back to at least to ground zero and build from there, see what happened last year and how we might deal with the problem.
Okay, well, I just want to make it clear that in reviewing House Bill 24, it raises not only the questions that we had in the prior act and under the prior law, but rather it increases those problems. And I want to say that I believe that the efforts that have been made by this entire industry to bring about the act as known as House Bill 739 and the further work by the committee will be the most beneficial to all members and all segments of our industry.
Do you have anything further at this time, Mr. Holman?
No, thank you. That would be it.
Okay, thank you. Are there questions from members of the committee? Mrs. Munson just had to leave to go to yet another meeting. In meantime, Mr. Malone has returned from his other commitment, and Mr. Randolph is walking in the door. So nearly all the time we have been able to keep a quorum of the committee, miraculously, even with several conflicts during the afternoon. I believe that Lyle Scherer has not yet testified and is waiting in Anchorage. If you would, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This is Lyle Scherer. I'm the manager and assistant vice president of Post Mortgage in Anchorage. Post Mortgage is the only mortgage banking firm active in construction lending in the Anchorage area at this time. My comments are going to be rather brief because I believe Mr. Appleby, Mr. Holman, Mr. Holstrom, Mr. Bridge, Mr. Price have covered our position fairly adequately. I also am a member of the oversight committee that was formed. This committee, at its very first meeting, tried to figure out what approach to take with regards to House Bill 739. We knew that there were some problems. We knew that there needed to be some corrections. We spent a lengthy period of time trying to decide whether to reinvent the wheel or should we try to improve on what we already have. And it was the concurrence of the committee from all segments of the industry that House Bill 739 was indeed a large step forward, and we should not undo what had already been done. Therefore, our approach was to make improvements on House Bill 739 rather than reinvent the new lien law or go back to the old and start from scratch. I think that hearing the testimony from the people in Fairbanks, they have been involved in at least one of our sessions in Anchorage. Most of their concerns have been addressed in the work draft which you have before you at this time. And I think that they will find House Bill 739 much more palatable with these changes as you have in the work draft there. The single largest, as a construction lender, the single largest thing that this has done for me is that I know a lot sooner when there's a problem on a construction job. And the sooner a lender knows there's a problem, the more money the lender is going to have left in a construction loan to solve that problem. I would like to see us proceed with improving on House Bill 79 rather than reverting back to as House Bill 24 appears to do, back to the old lien law. That's all I have at this time. Thank you.
Questions by members of the committee? The one copy of 739 was before us when people were citing it, so it was difficult to deal with. And just as a procedural matter, although I know that how habits die hard, I think in the future dealing with this committee, it would be easier if you would just refer to the new lien law and not refer to a House bill from a previous legislature, because we just started with a new sequence of bills, and actually technically that is no longer House Bill 39, it is chapter something or other of the session laws of Alaska 1978, and that's a kind of collective comment, something would be helpful otherwise if you were to send a letter to some member of the legislature who's not on this committee and wasn't in the 10th legislature, he would be racking his brains trying to find House Bill 739 when the last one was filed only up to about 96 or wherever we stand right now. First of all, just to make sure, has anyone else arrived, either Fairbanks or Anchorage or anywhere else up and down the line, some of the people who have just been observers in the other locations who may wish to testify?
Mr. Chairman, this is Fairbanks, and Mr. Ward would like to make one final comment.
Yes, go ahead, if you would, Mr. Ward.
Yes, I was listening to Sweet Holmstrom's comments, and I think Sweet Holmstrom, and myself in particular, I think we have very similar views. I read his early correspondence, his letter that was in a magazine, and his letter that was sent to me from an attorney, and I think his the feelings about the old bill are very similar to mine. I just wondered that as a member of the Oversight Committee, if he would use his his former position as a kind of a checkoff list against against the new oversight committee's findings and see how that checks out. Because I read some of the things earlier, and I agree with 100%. I had another comment. Sweet Holmstrom said that the new findings or recommendations of the Oversight Committee would allow a notice of intent to lien to be filed any time during the course of the construction. But the 10-day period probably still stays in the lien, which means that if you did file late in the course of the construction, you would just, I suppose, have rights to materials furnished 10 days forward from the date of the filing and anything subsequent. Is that correct?
In just a moment, I'll ask Mr. Holmstrom to reply to that. I don't want to go into a great amount of description of Work Order 5945, I think third draft, however, at this time, although we would like to have an answer to that question, if you could, Mr. Holmstrom at Anchorage.
Chairman Brown, this is Ray Appleby again. Mr. Holmstrom has left. The other members of the committee asked me to try to clarify that.
We're about to adjourn.
The concept is, under work order,
I think,
that we're talking about, work order 5945, is that the only reason the notice of right to lien would actually be given would be to make certain that that potential claimant was entitled to receive a notice prior to recordation of the notice of completion, and thereby know when the meter starts to run, so to speak. But whether he gave the notice of right to lien or did not give the notice of right to lien, his lien rights would cover everything that he furnished on that job from the very beginning.
Mr. Ward, do you have anything else?
No, that was all.
Okay. At first, I was going to suggest that we make sure that as Representative Miles always says, that we're reading off the same sheet of music, but I'm afraid we may not be. For the information of the persons on the line and also in this room, I'm going to check with Representatives McKinnon and Meekins with regard to this issue and see if it is this version of this work order that they intend to be introducing or yet another one. So until we know that for sure, until we have information on what further or final drafting may have been done on it, I will not confuse people further by sending some preliminary draft to Mr. Ward or to people in Fairbanks, in addition to the people in Anchorage who already have it before them. But as soon as we know what is happening with regard to that draft, even if it is not yet in bill form, we'll get that information to anyone who it expresses an interest to the committee, which would of course include anybody who's testified here today. It is my intention, even if we do after all meet on the 9th of February in the afternoon, not to be teleconferencing on Hospital 45, but rather we will definitely be doing that for Southeastern Alaska in the morning of the 19th and for the rest of the state on the afternoon of the 19th. Is there anything else from anybody along the line, including locations other than at Fairbanks or Anchorage? Then if not, this committee will stand in adjournment until 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, at which we'll be considering sunset review of the Alaska Board of Dental Examiners.